It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Hey, welcome Insight this gorgeous, chilly Wednesday night, December 8th.
Yep.
So we have in studio Boeg teacher, industrial art, the Boeg teacher and FFA advisor from Fort Recovery Schools, Mr. Joe Hawk. Hello, Joe.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. So how long have you been at Fort Recovery Schools and been part of the FFA program?
This is my 25th year, which is shocking to me. It went by pretty fast, but had a good run. I mean, I'm not retiring today or tomorrow, I guess, but I'm starting to see second generation kids. The kids are the people that I taught when I first started teaching, and that's interesting. Let's put it that way.
That's got to be a little bit of an eerie feeling when you. So do you call any of the kids by their dad's name or their mom's name?
Probably older brothers' names. Could have older brothers and sisters.
Older brother and sisters, most definitely.
Definitely, yeah.
That happens a lot. I one that pops to mind. I think of Isaac Timmerman, who's a junior this year, and his older brother Austin.
Yep.
I've called him several times, and I told him when I start calling his sister's names, then you got to complain. Otherwise, just deal with it.
Just go with it, Isaac.
So, one of the main reasons that we were going to talk this evening was to talk about your upcoming gingerbread house thing. And this is something that you do every year, right?
Every year, but last year.
Yeah.
COVID put the brakes on everything that was worthwhile, and we won't go on from there, but yeah. You know what I mean.
That's the truth.
Yeah, our gingerbread house is scheduled for Monday, December 20th. We allow kids pre-K through fifth grade. Parent needs to, or somebody needs to accompany them, just so we don't want kids roaming around, going nuts. We charge $10 a kid. Starts at 6:30, runs till 8. We play Christmas music. We have gingerbread houses. Kids can decorate. They can get candy. I think more candy gets eaten than actually gets put on them. But yeah. that's what you're paying for.
That's right. That's
to have to clean up your own mess when it's done. That's part of it. Bring some kids in. We almost need more kids to help with the cleanup crew than we do with the when it's running.
That's probably true. So, how many years have you done this?
Wow, that's a crazy question.
5, 10, 20?
Probably at least 10, maybe a little longer. This was a project that was started by Cheryl Perkebile and the FCCLA, former home ec. And when the school got rid of that, it was too good an event to just let go away.
Yeah.
We're not always looking for more things to do. You tell that to anybody at work or wherever they are, but you get to something, you think, boy, this is a great thing for kids, it's a great thing for the community. We usually get a couple hundred kids that show up and make a god awful mess, and their parents walk away feeling very happy, and we clean up the place when they're done and find Skittles and you name the candy in all kinds of places that,
for weeks afterwards, probably.
For a couple days, but
the cleanup crew.
That's right.
The professional do that.
But. One of the important things about working for the school that I learned early on is you have to keep the maintenance people happy, because you make them angry, and your job is much, much harder.
That's the truth.
So. Yeah. Bonnie Fortcamp's currently the one cleaning up here at the high school. She's doing a wonderful job, but you don't want to get on her bad side. Don't want to make her life, she's got enough people making a mess or doing whatever. So, that's why we have members, we provide this thing for kids. And the thing we're seeing now is kids that participated in that are now helping out do it, in that 10 to 15 year span. I can't tell you exactly when. I mean, I don't have that information and I can't bring it off the top of my head anymore, but they're coming in to go, I remember doing this and I remember doing that. And you know, that's part of it. You know, sure. We want them, you know, no different than when we have our petting zoo, when we bring the little kids over from the other school. You know, some of them, it's like, oh, we had a petting zoo. Yeah, you had a petting zoo you went to several times. And the other kids go, yeah, I remember we had this puppy over here, and I was sitting next to such and such. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a vivid memory that you have. And that's cool. All we want. We want vivid memories that kids can put in their brain and, you know, enjoy their childhood because, you know, I don't know. It seems like my childhood was much more enjoyable than what I see all the extras that we require and expect out of these kids today. And, you know, we give them so much grief because, you know, they can't spell anymore. They can't add stuff without a calculator. They can't do this, that. And, you know, the things they can do are amazing. But We're expecting them to do so much more, I think, sometimes that maybe they don't get the simple stuff over and over enough that it comes, you know.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the FFA program, maybe a little bit of the your history and how many kids are involved, that type of thing. So
wonderful.
We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesday, you can get special prices on our famous wings and draft beers. Wednesday night, get $3 off of any of our large pizzas. And Thursday, you can get our tenderloin basket. On Friday and Saturday evenings, we offer a sirloin steak or all-you-can-eat chicken that both include our salad bar and your choice of potato and a dinner roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern for some great home cooking.
Need a better job where the benefits are great. Family-friendly company with competitive pay, where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
Locations in Van Wert, Fort Recovery, St. Henry, Rossburg, and Coldwater. Start at $15.25 an hour for full-time production. Flexible options available too. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Hey, boys and girls. Santa will be in the Opera House building in Fort Recovery every Saturday from 11 to 1 until Christmas, and he'll also be there every Thursday evening from 6 to 8 through December 23rd. Be sure to ask Mom and Dad to take you to see Santa before Christmas. Evening hours are 6 to 8 p.m. on Thursdays through December 23rd, and he'll be there every Saturday from 11 to 1 through December 18th. Stop by to see Santa in the Opera House building this year. He'd love to see you there. Santa will not be available to meet with the boys and girls tomorrow night. The National Honor Society at Fort Recovery High School is offering free gift wrapping to the public this Christmas. If you're short on time and still need your gifts wrapped, or even if you just don't feel like doing it yourself, just bring your gifts to the high school commons area on Sunday, December 12th, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., and they'll wrap your gifts for you. There's a voluntary free will donation, so you can pay whatever you like. Take the easy way out this Christmas. Just take your gifts to the commons on Sunday, December 12th, between 10 and 2, and the National Honor Society will be happy to wrap your Christmas gifts for you. It's just their way of saying happy holidays from the National Honor Society.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Mr. Joe Hawk from the FFA, and Boeg classes from up at Fort Recovery High School. Rocker's in studio. Hello, Rocker.
Hi, Jack.
So we're talking about the FFA, and Joe, you said that you've been a member, I mean, a teacher up here for 25 years.
Yes, sir. Okay.
On that first year, how many kids were involved in FFA?
Wow. Now you're stretching my memory. I think approximately, I don't know why 110 is jumping up in my head, but we have been Currently, we have 140, and we've been somewhere between 100 and 140 consistently since that time. We've never been under 100 kids. So even through some, there was a few years where there was some small classes in a row. You know, sometimes you feel a little, well, we should have lots of kids, you know. But if it's a small class, you get what you get. You know, that's.
So you said we have 140 kids currently.
141, actually. We had a kid move in from Jay County about 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months.
And so that's 141 out of how many?
300 kids in high school, exactly.
No kidding.
Yes.
So just almost half.
Just almost half. That's a good number, I think.
Yeah. So probably 60% of the boys and 30 or 40% of the girls. Is that a decent... Well, I don't know that they're not. In my head, there's always the same number of girls and boys in a class, so that's probably that probably doesn't make much difference
like
anyway.
Part of the FFA is it three quarter boys and a quarter girls? Or?
We are actually a little behind times. We are about 60% boys and about 40% girls. Nationwide, it's actually it flipped a couple years ago. It's about 51, maybe 52% girls. Just because of how the changing program has been, you know, we have a lot of, we're very traditional yet here. I mean, but around the country, you see a lot more modern programs where the emphasis is a lot more on small animals or public speaking and communicating, learning to go work, you know, in marketing or that's where the jobs are for those kids that are not working on farm. Sure. There's lots of jobs out there.
So when, like, you say, like, we're more traditional and they're non-traditional. So do they like focus more on dogs and cats and that type of thing? And
well,
or do they focus more on the non farm agriculture business part of it. There's a whole bunch of different things that,
right.
You know, like around here, in my head, most of the people that are in FFA are planning to go on a farm because they came from farms, or at least grandma has a farm, grandpa has a farm, Uncle Fred has a farm, but in a lot of other places, they want to be in the agriculture industry, but they're never going to work on a farm.
I would say
that's just in my head.
The opportunities for a young person to work on a farm is much more here than it would be in other parts of the state.
Sure.
When I talk to other ag teachers across state, they're pulling ag out into, and I agree with this, into welding shops and into kids working on a lawnmower, mm-hmm. fit repair shop, or, you know, maybe just working for a radio station, helping them with whatever, you know, in communications. There's a lot of that. The opportunity, you know, here for a kid, if you want to pack eggs, if you want to milk cows, if you want to do those kind of things, is in the Mercer Auglaize kind of northern Dark County area, is much, much more available to them than you would see in other parts of the state. And it doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just luck of the draw sometimes.
Yeah, that's where we are.
That's where we're at.
Yep.
Correct. That's why I'm here.
So if like... Okay, so if I'm a freshman...
Correct.
Okay.
You'd be very old for a freshman.
And I come into the new high school and I talk to you about... So if, like, I come into your program, what can I expect?
Well, one of the beauty things that we've done over the last so many years is the state of Ohio requires all kids to take some type of career course in middle school. And currently, we don't offer it in seventh grade. The school does a waiver, which means we're waiving this. And then in eighth grade, every kid in rotation takes for 9 weeks, and then they have other courses around it, takes a 9 weeks of ag class where we go through and we do basic exploratory in a few things where they learn about a little bit about animals, a little bit about where their food comes from, a little bit about plants. And try to help them learn a little bit about themselves. You know, it's designed to be a career course. We go a lot through different types of career, traditional ag careers versus non-traditional ag careers, so they can really see what's out there. And it's good for those kids, but it's also good for our program because I think it demystifies what we are and what we do, because a lot of kids don't know what we are. As it, you know, they see us coming over for a petting zoo, or they see us for something else that we're doing, but they
the
don't
know. Tractor day, the truck day, those kind of things.
Oh, yeah. That,
which is awesome, by the way.
It is awesome, but...
but there's a lot more to it than that.
Yes, there is a lot more to that than that. And we're you know, we want kids to learn what we're doing, what we're about, and it's been a good recruitment tool for us because, you know, if we have, I think there's about 40 freshmen, and we never end up with 40 seniors because along the way, kids go, well, I'm going to find my niche somewhere else, whether it's taking art, whether it's I want to do this or whether I want to do that, or I'm going to go take a TriStar program and specialize in that, and that's fine. You know, our job is to help them figure out what they want to do. If you can figure out what you want to do when you're 16, 17, 18 years old, how far are you in front of the people that go away to college or go out in the workforce and don't know what they want to be, and they're 25, 30 years old, and they're still trying to figure out what they want to be?
Or 72. Still don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
Well, you know, I could say the same about myself someday. My wife says I need to grow up some days, but I think a lot of how I interact with kids is maybe I'm a little bit more like a kid, and we can get along. We can kid. We can joke. We can have a good time.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Well, you know,
as long as they're not running wild, which from the way I understand it, they do not.
Well, I hope not. Yeah. I mean, we hope not. No one wants to. You know, we're trying to maintain safety. We're trying to maintain a little bit of control. I mean, I'm going to give some rein. I mean. We're going to squash freshmen a lot more than we're going to squash seniors. I mean, they've earned that right to be respected a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But with that respect, I expect them to be in charge. I expect them to guide these younger students. And I'm not foolish, man. I mean, there's 140 kids up there. Do I expect all of them to like me? No. Yeah. They shouldn't. I mean, I'm not going to get along with every person that way. But, you know, we're going to try to either get along. I'm going to get along well with a lot of them. I can learn to get along with a lot of them. And there's always going to be a couple that, you know, make me scratch my head. That's maybe why I don't have as much hair as I once did. But, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We want them to feel comfortable with us, because if they're comfortable in what they're doing, I have a feeling that they'll be comfortable and successful in life. Because, you know, they're going to get into job situations that are not always, this isn't good for me. And they're going to learn to move on. And, you know, and they're going to know what is a healthy environment to do stuff in, what's not a healthy environment. And, you know, we want to keep them, because I don't teach the kids, I call them kids, but, you know, they're adults. I mean, most of my seniors are already 18. I mean, probably half of them are. They are adults. They don't want to be treated like little children, but they also don't want to be serious all the time. So that's where we're at.
Yeah. So, in your 25 years in the FFA program, going back to 1997,
correct,
to today, what's been a couple of the biggest changes?
Biggest changes, I would say, cell phones is the first thing that pops in my mind. I mean, you know, anytime we get a free second, these kids want to, you know, can I play, can I do so? I call it playing, but they call it whatever they want to do on their phone. But, you know, they also have instant access to anything.
Yeah.
I was telling a kid, we was learning about some electricity last month. And, you know, when I started out, I wanted to be a stickler. You know, you need to learn these things. You need to memorize, how do I wire this up? How do I wire that up? Just like I had to in school. Well, the school I went to in, you know, 80s and 90s is not that school anymore. You know, I tell the kids, I want you to understand the basics of electricity, the safety aspects. You know, because if I don't remember how to wire up two three-way switches, I'm going to get on my phone and I'm going to get a diagram off.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to watch a YouTube video, and that's exactly what I want you to do. But if you don't understand the basics, you know, they might as well be talking to Chinese in that thing.
Yeah.
So I tell them, if you get confusion, instead of trying to blow the place up, you know, which occasionally I have, I don't know what I'm doing, just keep on going. You know, pop something up on your phone. I'm not going to get mad at you, because that's what you're going to do in life. You know, that's the world we live in today. So I'd say that's the biggest change. Wow. I mean, there's lots of little changes. A lot of kids could say work ethic, but I still think the kids here still have a good work ethic. I mean, you know,
curriculum
always changes, and then
but it comes back around.
Dale Tobin, and you guys all know Dale Tobin from years ago. Yeah. Okay. Dale wasn't always perfect. We'll go down that. Sorry, Kathy, if you're listening.
Which is what I loved about him.
Yeah, I mean, he looked at me one time and he goes, "Don't you worry. All this will come back again, and they'll call it something different, but it all comes in one big cycle." And you know, after all this time, I start to see, you know, they went away from, you know, kids wanting to have skills. You know, we got to learn about, you know, how to do higher math, and we got to do all that kind of stuff. And not that there isn't a need for that yet, but you know, the governor come back a few years ago, and we need more kids that have skills with their hands. Yeah. And I don't think it's as much that the kids don't all need those skills, but it's where the job markets are right now.
Sure.
I mean, you look at what they're expecting out there. How many welders? How many even construction people? How many maintenance? You go on electricians. You go on down. They're aging, and I don't want to call them old, but you know, those people are going to want to retire.
Yeah.
Those are where the jobs are. It doesn't matter if you're here or in Columbus or where you're at. Those are where the jobs are at. And I can't find this, but I saw this a few years ago. Harvard did a study. Now, Harvard ain't got to worry about how many kids, four-year kids going. They could tell everybody in America that four-year education is going to be all right. Harvard ain't going to have a problem filling their doors.
Yeah.
But they did a study that said that, like 75% of the jobs that are out there didn't need a four-year degree. Now,
75%
of available jobs coming up.
Yep, that's awesome.
A two-year degree would cover about 40% of those.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And a high school degree they said would cover the rest, or on-the-job training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how many electricians there are out there, but a lot of that you become a journeyman and you learn that kind of stuff. You know, HVAC. I had one of the Faller boys, one of Chad Faller's kids, a couple years ago, and you know, he had good skills. He went to college up to UNOH in Lima, and basically it was a breeze for him. Why? Yeah. He had learned all that on the job working with his parents, and that's a beautiful thing. But I also tell the kids, you know, you can learn all that on the job.
Yep.
But have a piece of paper at the end that says you're qualified to do something. In the case that company ever goes out of business and you're 45 years old, what are you qualified to do? Well, these businesses, you know, I get it. I mean, from K&L to Halls and all this, they're going to pay kids to go get trained.
Yep.
They're going to pay people to do all this. If they give them too much of a piece of paper, are they going to stay there? Well, if you provide a good working environment and you're in a good community like we are, those kids are going to stay there.
Yeah. And if you're a valuable employee,
they're
going to keep paying you to stay there.
Correct.
So I tell you what, we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to come back and talk about some of the various activities that the FFA gets into during the course of the school year. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Looking for some great food fast? Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them do the cooking. You want wings, but the kids want pizza? No problem. Everybody can get what they want. Wings, pizza, great sandwiches, subs, fried goodies. Just call them, then drive through and pick it up. And call Miracle Lanes now to reserve your lanes for your holiday party or for any large orders of food for the holidays. And be sure to stop out on Fridays at lunch for their great pizza, wing, and salad buffet. Great food and lots of fun at America Lanes. Stop out or call them at 375-4274. Fort Recovery FFA is sponsoring a Gingerbread House Family Night for parents and children in grades pre-kindergarten through fifth grade, and parents are required to accompany their children. It will be in the high school commons on Monday evening, December 20th, from 6:30 to 8, and each child will use their own creativity and decorate a gingerbread house to take home. The cost is $10 per child, and you'll need to register by Friday, December 10th. Registration forms will be sent home with your kids, and you can also print them from the Fort Recovery School's Facebook page or pick them up at the school. Be sure to get your students registered for this fun event, sponsored by our local FFA chapter. It's for students from pre-kindergarten through fifth grade, and you'll need to register them before Friday, December 10th. Fort Recovery Athletic Department will be having a student appreciation night this Friday when the Indians host the Delphus St. John's Blue Jays in a big MAC game. There'll be attendance drawings for some great prizes, they'll have face painting, and they'll be doing a lot more fun stuff during the game, and all Fort Recovery students will get in free, from seniors all the way down to our kindergartners. Get your friends together and get to the Fort Sight Fieldhouse this Friday as our Indians take on the Delphus St. John's Blue Jays. It's going to be a lot of fun, so head up to the gym and help cheer on our Indians. Students get in free, lots of prizes, face painting, and more on Student Appreciation Night this Friday at the Fort Sight Fieldhouse.
We're back inside. Jack Rocker, Mr. Joe Hawk, and Neil, of course.
Yeah, somebody has to push buttons.
That's right.
Somebody has to make the big bucks, right?
Yeah. Some days we make over $10.
Hey, there you go.
We've been talking about, you know, various FFA activities and how the thing has how the program has kind of changed over the years. So FFA is a extracurricular activity, or is
incorrect.
It a co?
It's a co-curricular activity.
Okay, which,
or intracurricular activity is another word they use.
Which means what?
It means that it's a part of what we're doing in the classroom, and it's an extension of the classroom. So every kid is required to keep records on something. And I got kids that milk cows. I got kids that babysit. I got kids that, you know, I did some chores around the home. I did. You know, I took care of some steers, whatever they want to do. But it gets them into a system of keeping records. Whether they get paid or not, that's, I mean, we keep track of that too. But, and so they learn other skills, whatever it is. Yeah. It encourages them to be learning things outside the classroom, because inside the classroom, we're limited to 40 minutes a day, 180 days a year. We can't get everything. We can touch a lot of things, but we can't expand on things.
Sure.
So, you know, we encourage, I mean, like you talked earlier about what could a kid expect as a freshman. Our freshman class is called AFNR, which is Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources. So it's a big, broad curriculum. Back when President Bush was president, he set forth some stuff to make some national standardized systems, so that kind of what I'm learning here is the same as it is in Jay County, the same as it is in Texas, same as it is in California. Now, in reality, it's not real close, but it has some simulations of, you know, because I'm going to teach more of what I like or more of what I'm good at than, you know, other stuff.
Sure.
You know? So that's a broad spectrum of things. The sophomores take a plant and animal science, so it talks about, you know, raising plants. How does Roundup work? How does, you know, how to till the soil? They talk about, you know, what is waterways, that kind of stuff. And they do a little bit with animals. Their junior class is called Livestock Selection and Management. So it goes a lot more into diseases, how to learn about diseases. Right now we're talking about genetics, which, you know, I could toot the horn for the whole school system. They learn from Crystal Follenkamp in eighth grade, and they learn from Kathy Schwederman in biology about genetics, so that when I go through this genetics, it's review for them. And that's great, because you know, that tells us our school system is doing its job all the way along the system. There's a lot of teachers, you know, if they don't do their job before I get these kids, I can't do much with them. You know, if they can't read, write, and have a halfway decent conversation. So, you know, the community can be very proud that they're getting a pretty good all-around education up here at the school district. So then our seniors our juniors or seniors have a choice we call mechanical principles. It is basically a shop course. We don't spend every day in a shop, but we talk a lot about construction, concrete, how to, you know, prepare for a building site. We go into like plumbing, we go into hydraulics, we go into electricity, we go into welding, we go into small engines. I think that's all the topics. I got to go off the top of my head. But like right now, I have the students working on their semester exam. We have semester exams here in a couple weeks. They're actually building. We learned about hydraulics and stuff. We take syringes I got from CALPS and some tubing, and they're making hydraulic things where they got to go out and grasp something, like let's say this pin or whatever is on the table, and they got to move it and do stuff with it. So it's kind of like work like a backhoe or an excavator, but they have to design it and have to do it, and they have to be able to move five things. And basically I just get a gallon food can from the kitchen, and they have to put it inside here, and then there are different sizes, different weights, different shapes, so they have to develop something that can grab it, move it, and deposit it here. When I look at that, it not only is it the plumbing stuff, it's the thinking through stuff, it's the building that they've done, it's all these things, and they like doing it because, you know, they're using their mind to build something, construct something. And like I told them, I said, the people that make the equipment that you use today, this is how they did it. And if it doesn't work, then you go down a different street. There's not the same kind of job as for people down here at J&M. Sure. They have people that are designing something, make it bigger, make it better. How can we do all these things? Think it through. And that's what I like about what my job is.
Yeah. And so, the kids get a great feeling of accomplishment when they can get together and make this thing.
Sure, because usually work. They got their buddy with them, you know, and,
yeah.
And they can tease each other. Well, yours isn't going to do this, or mine's better than yours. And,
little trash talk
doesn't hurt anybody to motivate them a little bit.
Yep.
We also offer agribusiness course to seniors only. And we're learning a lot more about business and a lot much how it is and how to balance checkbooks, but also, you know, what does a futures market, what's it mean? That's what we're going to talk about here in the next couple of days. They'll love me for doing that up till Christmas. But it's a wide variety of topics. Plus, within that, we offer the ability to take our co-op program, where a kid can take up to half a day out of school to learn on the job things that we can't do enough of at school. You know, so I have kids that are working for I should have brought the list, but I have kids that are working for like Sutter Brothers. I have some students that are laying concrete. I had a student that was working for a dentist. I have a girl that's working for a lady that does logistics for a trucking company. Got 20 some of them. You think I could come up with a little more? I got a couple kids working at J&M.
That's awesome, though.
Right.
Because you haven't put them in a turkey house or in a tractor in any of those situations.
Well, I have a few of those, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. And that's all most of the rest of us think about is you're having them go help somebody pick up dead turkeys or gathering eggs or something. And that's what most of us are thinking about. And you just named five things that have nothing to do with being on the farm. And a lot of them are going to end up there, but they also need to know about, especially futures, if they're growing grain, if you sell at the right time or the wrong time, that can make or break your farm.
Sure.
And that's extremely important, even if they don't understand that yet.
Well, and I could say that they could go work for the county. They could work for the Farm Services Agency. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of different jobs out there.
Sure.
You know, that are available to students.
You touched on like a lot of like things like welding and things like that. So how does your curriculum and what you offer kind of jive up with the TriStar process?
Well, the TriStar process is a unique one. I mean, I don't know if you've been to the new facility over there, but it's a nice facility. It's brand new. I mean, obviously, we're all still paying tax dollars on it, but it's a good-looking building. they have a lot of equipment. I mean, they have bigger equipment, larger equipment than we can. You know, basically, if they got 6 months in the welding program over there, they could probably go over here to J&M and get a job. I mean, that's kind of how it is. As long as they're somewhat functional in it, they're going to take them on. Because they need employees and
sure.
And, you know, there's other stuff. I mean, there's construction over there. What we do a lot of times is we kind of touch some things and then kids go over there and see and they go over there and do stuff. The beauty of TriStar versus a lot of vocational schools, like if you go down to the one in Dayton, which is Miami Valley, or Upper Valley, which is in Piqua, they go to school there. They take their English, they take their math, they take everything there. My brother, I grew up in Waynesfield, Ohio, kind of on the other side of Walpock. Yep. He went to Ohio High Point, which is in Bell Fountain. And I can remember the frustration he had. You never heard the announcements. You never knew what was going on in your own home school. They were kind of, it's like you're in your school, but you're not in your school. And yeah. they never, it was like you had to hear hearsay from one of your friends. Oh, we're doing this. Or, you know, you never got the information you needed. TriStar allows us to send kids over for a half day. They're going to come back. Do they get everything? No. I mean, they're not going to get everything, but they can come back and take their English, their math, you know, whatever else they need to do to graduate.
Be
a part of their school district. They're a part of that prom. They're a part of, they're still helping plan and decorate for it. They're still a part of sports. I remember my brother. I mean, I think the only sport he played when he went down to the vocational school was still football. But you didn't know. I mean, you're rolling in on a bus and jumping off to go run to football practice, you know, because it's coming back at the end of the day, and you have no idea. You know, there might have been, hey, we're going to practice inside because it's raining, or we're going to have this. He was flying blind, and I don't mean to spend any time.
Didn't they text him?
Right. Yeah. He could today, but there was none of that then.
15 years ago, you could, but from there on back, there's no chance.
Yeah, but getting back to TriStar, there's a lot of good programs there. I encourage the kids to start them. I encourage the kids to finish them. I'm not going to say that Tim Buescher over there, who runs that, doesn't get a little bit perturbed with us, because we have a lot of kids that go over there and get a year's worth of training, and then they want to come back and they want to do our co-op program. Because they want money.
Sure.
You know, they're 18, they want money, they want the things that everybody else has, and I get that.
Yep.
But I would like to see them stay over there and stay with the program and finish that program. Learn all that you can from that program so that when you step out of that program, you can still do that. Because with TriStar, how it's set up, you still get all those aspects of the home school, and you get to participate. And they make a lot of friends and other people from Coldwater to St. Henry, but even over to Minster. I mean, all the schools in this area that are part of TriStar.
Does every Mercer County school have an FFA program?
Everyone does now. Salina let theirs go in 1980, and 2 years ago they brought it back. And there's a multitude of reasons. I mean, some of it's, you know, they had a lot of kids that were going to Rockford Parkway, and going to Coldwater to take classes there. I mean, pulling them out. There's incentives by the governor a few years ago. He gave some more money to make it more feasible. He wanted more job training skills.
Yeah.
So there was more aspects with teachers. Although, you know, like anything else, there's a teacher shortage because it is a specialty.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and talk about the various fundraisers, activities, judging contests that you get involved in. So we'll be back.
So you're saying we're going to go till about 9:30 or 8:30? I mean.
Maybe.
That would be early for sports talk starting.
True. We'll be back after this.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Rammel with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms, to factories, to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. FortRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining, then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
It's time to get ready for those holiday parties, so don't forget that Wayne Street Market has everything you need. Stop and pick up what you need to make your special recipes, or talk to them about handling any or all of it for you. They have pies, fresh frozen and canned vegetables, potatoes, ham, everything you need to make your holiday dressing, and lots more. And they have plenty of Cooper Farms turkey rolls in stock, both all white meat and mixed white and dark. Also, it's time to order your party trays for your holiday parties. Veggie trays, sandwich trays, cookie trays, and of course their famous meat and cheese trays. Be sure to order a few days ahead. And be sure to grab a couple of their delicious cheese balls every time you're in the store. They're always a great snack. Get to Wayne Street Market for all your holiday supplies. They have everything you need to prepare the big feast this year. Great selection, great prices at Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will travel to Delphus St. John's to take on the Lady Blue Jays in a varsity-only contest starting at 7. That'll be a Fort Recovery Radio broadcast with Diana Rammel. Friday, the boys will host the Blue Jays, and it'll be Student Appreciation Night with all Fort Recovery students admitted free from pre-kindergarten through seniors. We'll simulcast WPGW's broadcast of that game, and it'll be available on the NFHS video. Get to the games this weekend to support our Indians teams, but if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. Presale tickets for Friday's home boys basketball game with Delphus St. John's will be sold tomorrow in the high school office from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. On Friday, tickets will be sold in the high school office from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Presale ticket prices are $7 for both students and adults. All tickets at the door will be $8.
We're back in sight. Jack Stogler, Rocker Bonvillain. Rocker, are you ready to talk yet?
Until he took a bite.
For God's sake, you have your mouth full of food, Rocker.
Well, because you're supposed to be talking to Joe Hawk and not Rocker.
Well, we also have Mr. Hawk here too. So Joe, let's talk about I think
we could talk about what Rocker's eating. Want to do that?
Everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anything is.
I brought in a few apples that. Yeah. We just had our fruit sale, so hopefully most everybody that ordered fruit is getting it in the next. The kids got it Tuesday to take out, so hopefully they got it last night or tonight. I know that a lot of them busy trying to get it out.
I got mine last night.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the activities that the FFA does from a both. I think from a fundraiser standpoint and from a community benefit standpoint, maybe not necessarily a. Fundraiser, but you do it because it's the right thing to do. So, why don't you share? Let's just go through the school year,
okay?
And if you can kind of name the various activities that you have that happen,
we'll try. I always think the start of the school year is the county fair,
yeah.
And we have lots of kids that it's the county fair ends about. The Thursday, and then we start school the next Tuesday or Wednesday, yeah. Whatever it works out to be. We have a lot of kids that participate in projects they built in the school and take over there, but we also have some kids that show some livestock, from goats to cows to dairy cows to chickens to all the aspects up there. And the kids really like the county fair. I mean, it has its put Good parts and bad parts. I mean, it's we have a food booth over there, so yeah. We have long days over there. I get very tired of the fair. Occasionally, we kid that the fair is another four letter F word, but I know you find that funny. me and Michael Gower, who I work with, we say that occasionally each other.
And you share that with the Parkway FFA, correct?
We do, and they've been very helpful. Yeah. Alan Post is an advisor up there,
yeah. And I've gone to the fair to get the fair food, especially last year, because nobody could go there during the regular fair.
Yeah.
So I went there at lunch several times, and they're busy.
Yeah. Oh, we're busy.
And that was last year when there weren't people around the fair.
The whole COVID thing was ridiculous, because I'm talking about, that was two fairs ago. We cut back on everything because we thought there would be nobody there, and you know, it was like the only thing that anybody could go out to eat at all year.
Yeah.
And if you look at our sales records, because we had to order food like the second day of the fair, we're ordering food because we're running out of certain things. It's not even a blip on the screen. Yeah. We sold the same amount in 2020 that we sold in 2021, really? That we sold in 2019.
People like that did the same thing I did, that they made a point of going there to buy food.
And there was a limited amount of places that could serve food in, yes, 2020.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, there was probably one third as many normal vendors. Mm. And it was pretty much the standard vendors that have permanent sites and that kind of stuff. Yeah. There.
Yep.
After
the fair, we start school, and you know, all the freshmen, as you watch them get lost in a small little building, and it's amazing to me that they get lost in that high school. But usually about second week, they've got it all figured out, where to be, how to be. You know, it's a shock from them, you know, being in eighth grade. We're big kings of the wood, and then you come into high school and you're just nothing. Welcome to being nothing again. But they do like the lunch. I mean, high school lunch offers a little more options to them, a salad bar. But getting back to the FFA things, we soon go into soil judging. We talk about where their soil comes from, and they learn how, you know, how well does soil percolate water through it. They learn about, you know, clay soils, because we're a little bit more clay here, which makes ground loose versus the sandy soils you might see down if you're in Florida or someplace else. And you know, how do I apply that to growing crops? How do I apply that? There's two different types of soil judging. There's an agriculture-based one that talks about plants, and there's another one that it's called urban soil judging, that looks into, like, what kind of septic system do I need to put in here? What kind of other problems am I going to have if I develop a house or that kind of stuff on it? So it helps those, you know, as I look at the kids that want to be, like, a civil engineer or something, it's thinking that through. How are you going to go about that? After that, we have food science, which we had some girls finish like sixth or seventh in the district this year, which has got a lot of chemistry. I mean, you think of all the things, you know, you used to work for Cooper's. I mean, from the plant over in St. Henry, or most definitely the one in Van Wert, all the food chemistry that they got to know, and the biosecurity rules for keeping all that food good. They have to learn all that kind of stuff. So even if they don't, you know, it's a good just as a homeowner or whatever, but it might be that they get a job working there.
Yeah.
We have what we call agriculture technical mechanical systems, which is basically a lot about, they bring kids in and they take a test, or they take an online test about welding and how equipment's run, how to repair equipment, environmental stuff like waterways, that kind of stuff. And then if they're one of the top 10 teams, they get invited down to Columbus, which we had a group of boys that got invited down to Columbus last week. They finished second in the state. And Bruce Heitkamp was first individual in the state, and Derek Leonards was sixth individual safe. I brought the paper. I should just look at it instead of trying to test my memory. And then Jake Littmer was 27th individual in the state, and Gavin Faller was 35th individual in the state. They finished second overall. There were three schools in the county that made the finals, us, Parkway, and Coldwater, and we finished first among those. That's always important, you know.
Oh, yes.
You know, it doesn't matter if you didn't, you know, lose to somebody on the other side of the state, but you don't want to lose next door to a next door neighbor. That's kind of one of them rules. But and it could happen to us, you know. Sure. Just on the other hand, we have job interview contest, where as real as it gets. You know, They give a list of jobs, and the person they have, they go to somebody that might be an HR or whatever, and they go there and they compete against. Well, they have a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior level. So, you know, you're not going to get beat by a senior if you're a freshman. But these are freshmen that have been in school for, you know, 3 months, maybe four, that go down here and compete against other freshmen. So, you know, at least it makes it fair that way. But they're interviewing for a job. And basically the person that is on the other end that might be an HR or might be whoever, whoever did the best job, you know, presenting to me what they are with the resume and everything else, they get first place, as it should be. I mean, it's a good prospect for the future because, you know, not many jobs are they going to come looking for you. I mean, there are people that they come looking for you, but the vast majority of people have to go out and try to get a job and have to interview for it. And if you got that, you know, I always tell the kids, if you got the ability to speak and be in front of somebody, if you got equal talents with somebody, but you're a better speaker, you will move up through the business faster if you have the ability to speak and work with people. You can ask a thousand reasons why, but it happens every time.
Let me ask you a question on that. Is I'm seeing good and bad things in doing that as a freshman. On the negative side, I'm saying, let's say they came in fifth out of six people or last or something, that can maybe bother them a little bit. But on the positive side, which is where I really am, is that they're freshmen. They didn't do as well as they should. Before they go to get a job and need to be in an interview, they have three more years to get that all figured out. And I'm just guessing that some of the kids that did poorly in their freshman year were probably ended up being, you know, they understood what they did wrong, and they've had 3 years to get ready to go do it exactly the way they should.
Neil, I look at it this way. If a kid goes and does a contest and they do poorly to the point where they don't want to do it again, I didn't do my job. My job is to make sure that kid is prepared
and
understands what they need to do.
Yeah.
That's my job. Mm-hmm. Are they going to win it? No. I mean, I can tell you from many, many times that, you know, I expect kids to do their best. Mm-hmm. That's all I expect. If their best is 10th, 12th, 45th place, then that's it. Mm-hmm. But, and you can you can quote me on this. And one of Frank Deuce's kids, I got to remember which one it was.
Scott. I'll just
say it wasn't Scott.
Okay.
It was. I think it was Chris. Oh, Chris and some other boys.
Yep.
We went to a district contest in small engines, okay, and they were second in the district. And I griped at them boys because they were better than that. They knew their stuff inside and out, and I griped at them. And, you know, I got a little grief from some moms, you know, why are you yelling at these kids? Okay, 2 weeks later, they won the state contest and beat the team they beat in district. They did what I thought they could do.
Now,
I didn't care that they were first. I mean, it's great that they were first.
Yes.
You know, and you know, I always tell the kids, you know, well, you've always good, you know, because your name's on the wall. And I said, you go look around and find my name on this wall. Every one of these banners, every one of these plaques doesn't have my name on it. It has the student that won that or earned that award, whatever it was on that. That's my motivation, is making sure that they are prepared and they make themselves better. I said I didn't get into teaching because I thought I'd get overly wealthy. I didn't get into teaching because I thought that I would make lots of lifelong friends with high school kids. Although I have. And, you know, but that's another story. I mean, I could go into the bowling alley or you name a place in town, and I can run into people I knew. I was at the grocery store over here, you know, dad of the year. My wife's out of town, so I bought chicken and JoJo's for the kids for supper. You know, dad made supper. Everybody liked it. Everybody ate it. So, but I ran into, you know, a girl that, you know, was a former student. We talked for a little bit. You know, she's sitting there walking around with her two kids trying to buy groceries. You know, had a nice little conversation as I'm sitting there waiting to order my food. You know, I don't expect them to love me.
Yeah, we have to take another break, but Rocker has a question.
Yes, what do you think the biggest misconception about the FFA is these days?
The biggest misconception is it's all about agriculture. It is all about agriculture, but it's not all about farming. Let me go down that straight. We have so many jobs out there. Probably 95% of the jobs out there that we're training kids for are not farming, but they might be doing services or a secondary service for people that could be on farming or could be doing anything. I think that's its biggest misconception.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, Neil, I think we have to take another break, right?
Yep.
Okay, and then we'll be back to touch on a couple other things And then...
And then hit Rocker with his... what do you got for us tonight, Rocker?
My usual, typical...
this date his, and pop culture. Yeah. Awesome.
So, very good. Whoop.
That was... 40 years ago? 42 years ago?
41 years ago in about 2.5 hours.
Yep. Back so in a
we'll
minute.
Be back.
Fors Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Fors, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Fors Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Fors Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Need a better job where the benefits are great? A family-friendly company with competitive pay, where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
We're offering $1,000 sign-on bonuses for maintenance and CDL drivers. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
This is Chad Guggenbeller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Has your business experience changed within your operation? Or maybe the place you banked with has seen the cultural change or the loss of a long-trusted officer or advisor? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action in how to navigate this new season of business. Let me help with this plan. See me, Chad Guggenbiller, at 419-852-4049. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning.
The Friends of the Fort Recovery Public Library would like to invite the public to view the Fort Festival of Trees now through December 31st. Each year, businesses, organizations, and families decorate Christmas trees or wreaths that are displayed at the library. Listening to Christmas music while viewing the trees and wreaths, visitors will vote for their favorite entry. Votes are then tallied to see which tree will win the People's Choice Award. The entry with the most votes wins the title of People's Choice Award, and the name of the organization or family will be engraved on a plaque that remains at the library. This beloved family tradition is enjoyed by patrons of all ages. Stop by to see the beautiful display at the Fort Festival of Trees, now through December 31st, during regular library hours. The National Honor Society at Fort Recovery High School is offering free gift wrapping to the public this Christmas. If you're short on time and still need your gifts wrapped, or even if you just don't feel like doing it yourself, just bring your gifts to the high school commons area on Sunday, December 12th, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., and they'll wrap your gifts for you. There's a voluntary free will donation, so you can pay whatever you like. Take the easy way out this Christmas. Just take your gifts to the commons on Sunday, December 12th, between 10 and 2, and the National Honor Society will be happy to wrap your Christmas gifts for you. It's just their way of saying happy holidays from the National Honor Society. Fort Recovery FFA is sponsoring a Gingerbread House Family Night for parents and children in grades pre-kindergarten through fifth grade, and parents are required to accompany their children. It will be in the high school commons on Monday evening, December 20th, from 6:30 to 8, and each child will use their own creativity and decorate a gingerbread house to take home. The cost is $10 per child, and you'll need to register by Friday, December 10th. Registration forms will be sent home with your kids, and you can also print them from the Fort Recovery School's Facebook page or pick them up at the school. Be sure to get your students registered for this fun event, sponsored by our local FFA chapter. It's for students from pre-kindergarten through fifth grade, and you'll need to register them before Friday, December 10th.
We're back inside
Gingerbread House.
With my date, Rocker Bonvilla.
You have a very
Rocker,
lovely
you look
date.
Lovely tonight.
Isn't she lovely?
I don't think that's a good deal.
No, bad idea. So, Joe, I tell you what, it's hard to believe that we talk for an hour. There's like a couple things that I want to make sure that we touch on yet.
Okay? Sure.
First, let's talk about the most pressing matter, and that is the gingerbread house process.
Yep. Basically, people just need to fill out a form so we know we have enough materials for them.
Yep.
And it's amazing. I mean, even the staff that doesn't have kids that go to school here, they make sure their kids get in here. And it's you know, we get about 200 kids. But you need to register by this Friday, December 10th, just so that we have enough materials. That's really what we're trying to do. It's $10 a kid. Most of that goes into candy and the other stuff that puts it in. We're not really making much on it. Again, we feel this is just a really great thing for people to do and spend time with their family and have some Christmas season background, make a gingerbread house, make a memory with your children or grandchildren.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that the kids think it's awesome.
Oh yeah, kids love it. Yeah. Now I'm gonna lie that you know some of these kids look like they're bathing themselves in candy and icing as much as they are their gingerbread house. But you know you get those things. But,
that's awesome.
You can get on the school's webpage and on their Facebook, and you can get a form, or you can stop by the high school office, or you can just call. Cheryl Wenning loves to get more phone calls. She'll fill out your form.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
And we'll take it all in. Yeah.
So you have to register by this Friday?
Correct.
The event is a week from Monday, December 20th. Very good. From 6:30 to 8.
Correct.
Very good.
Inside the high school commons.
Yep. The second part that I was wanting to cover is, you know, the kids that assume leadership positions.
Yes.
I think it's important to mention their names in this process because it takes balls to take a position like that, you know, and to be a leader. If, like, you look at any of our organizations, we have people that will do the work, but we don't have very many that want to assume the leadership of that various work. You know, and to see guys that'll take, guys and gals that'll take the officer roles in the FFA, I think we need to mention those. So could, like, you share, like, who's the officers?
I'd love to. You talk about, you know, even within the FFA, we have officers that lead stuff, but we still have a lot of kids that just want to work. But, you know, we teach parliamentary procedure up at school through the FFA chapter when they're freshmen so that it doesn't matter if they're part of a men's group in town or a church group or you know, a gun club or whatever else groups here in town, or even the school board someday.
Yep.
You know, they have some basic understanding of how to do that and have the ability to want to speak in front of others. But this year, we have Marcus Garkey as our president. This is his second year as president. He does a wonderful job. He's a good speaker. He's speaking in front of, usually we have between 90 to 110 kids come to our FFA meetings. You never quite know based upon what's going on in people's schedules, what's going on. But he does a good job. Our vice president this year is Ben Wellman. Our parliamentarian is McKenna Ellenberger. Our secretary is Macy Brunswick. Our treasurer is Elena Laux. Our reporter is Miley Briner. Our historian is Hannah Weigel. Our sentinel is Olivia Hawk. And our student advisor is Ethan Evers.
Fantastic. And I'll tell you what, for anybody out there, if you ever have an opportunity to attend an FFA banquet at the end of the school year, and I think it's usually, in early April or so.
End of March, early April, depending on.
It's the most impressive banquet that you could possibly attend. So and I don't know who all gets invited to those.
Well, this year it'll be a lot more than it was last year. Last year it was a little restrictive. It was parents only, which was still quite a number of people.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reason you say it's impressive is, and I think it's impressive, is it's run by the kids.
Yep.
It's run by, and mind you, they're 17, 18-year-olds. So they should be able to handle that. That's what we do. We try to. We want them to be successful when they walk out the door with their cap and gown on. We want them to be successful, and that's part of it. So we want those kids to take a leadership role. We give them some guidance. I'm not their dictator. I'm their advisor. That's kind of my job. So I give them advice. You know, we have certain expectations that we want them to live within. But for the most part, they're running that meeting You know, they're making the plans. They're figuring out who's winning some of the awards, not all the awards, but it's so, theirs, and that's why it's so impressive.
Well, I would tell you what, it was always back when I was on the school board, my favorite banquet to get to go to, because like you said, it's run by the kids. It's you know, now they used to have like a pie auction there, right?
We do have a pie auction.
Yeah.
I think part of it is we still run a good old fashioned meal at it. It's like a wedding meal we have there, but we have a pie auction every year, and that money goes towards kids going on trips. And whether it's our trip to National FA Convention, State FA Convention, we also have an FA camp that they can go to over the summer, where they can meet kids from all over the state, and it has a high ropes course and a lake and all the stuff that a camp would have. But we also look at those kids that, you know, just like your Christmas gala here next week, you know kind of who needs a little bit more and who doesn't, you know? So, you know, if a kid needs a little bit more, we're going to do it and help them out. So, you know, we're going to charge them X amount of money, but we're going to make sure that they get everything, you know, involved in that. We're going to make, as a chapter, that's, you know, why we sell fruit, that's why we have a food booth at the fair, we're going to make sure that they get access to anything they want to do, whether it's, you know, if you want to, you know, we went to National FA Convention, we went to a concert and a rodeo. You know, I wish I would just did the rodeo, because they were disappointed in the concert, but they'd love the rodeo. So, you know, it's those things that may or may have never not been seen before that we want them to be involved in. They're not cheap. I mean, that's why we do these things, but we want to help them out. But if I see a kid that's, you know, financially struggling, we're going to try to find ways to help them. Or if they need a little bit of something to, you know, in a shop where they're trying to build a project, they ain't got enough money. You know, there's a lot of, not only us, but there's a lot of people that, you know, give us money discreetly.
Yep.
To, hey, if you've got a kid that doesn't have something, that wants to build something, give them this and get it for them so they can take something home and be proud of it. And, you know, that's, you know, we live in a good community that looks after a lot of people.
Without a doubt. So, Joe, I tell you what, I really enjoyed our discussion and learned a heck of a lot about the FFA and what you've got going on. And again, I want to encourage everybody to, if you've got a new little one that is anxious to build a gingerbread house, get them signed up by this Friday. The event is a week from Monday on December 20th, from 6:30 to 8:30 8 at the High School Commons, and Joe and his group would love to see you up there. So, anything else, Neil?
Nope, just rocker.
Okay, I tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back to rocker right after this. Thanks.
The Fort Recovery Athletic Department will be having a student appreciation night this Friday when the Indians host the Delphi St. John's Blue Jays in a big MAC game. There'll be attendance drawings for some great prizes, they'll have face painting, and they'll be doing a lot more fun stuff during the game, and all Fort Recovery students will get in free, from seniors all the way down to our kindergartners. Get your friends together and get to the Fort Site Fieldhouse this Friday as our Indians take on the Delphi St. John's Blue Jays. It's going to be a lot of fun, so head up to the gym and help cheer on our Indians. Students get in free, lots of prizes, face painting, and more on Student Appreciation Night this Friday at the Fort Site Fieldhouse. Hey, boys and girls. Santa will be in the Opera House building in Fort Recovery every Saturday from 11 to 1 until Christmas, and he'll also be there every Thursday evening from 6 to 8 through December 23rd. Be sure to ask Mom and Dad to take you to see Santa before Christmas. Evening hours are 6 to 8 p.m. on Thursdays through December 23rd, and he'll be there every Saturday from 11 to 1 through December 18th. Stop by to see Santa in the Opera House building this year. He'd love to see you there. Santa will not be available to meet with the boys and girls tomorrow night. The junior high and high school choirs will present their Christmas concert this Sunday at 6 p.m. in the middle school auditorium.
These students have been preparing for weeks for this presentation of Christmas and holiday music. The public is invited to come and be entertained by our choir students. The junior high and high school choir concert is free of charge and will take place this Sunday evening at 6 p.m. in the middle school auditoria. Come early and get a good seat.
It's 8:10.
It's 29 degrees.
My fault. We didn't have a commercial break scheduled, so I just did some stuff, and then I had sports talk stuff ready to go. So we're back to you with Rocker.
All hell's breaking loose, Rocker.
Then we'll do sports talk.
So Rocker.
Yes.
It's been a while since we've chatted. A
couple weeks.
So what do you have on your agenda tonight?
Well, when I do this, I usually do 2 days. So we're doing December 7th and December 8th. I think my mic's not on yet.
Oh, yeah, it's on.
Yeah, it's on.
1969, the first airing of Frosty the Snowman on CBS.
Is this December 7th?
Yeah.
Okay.
December 7th of 1969?
Yeah.
And who, you're allowed to answer this, Fee or Bubba?
Yeah.
Who was the voice of Frosty the Snowman? Joe knows. Joe?
I guess Burl Ives. Am I wrong?
Frosty? It's been Burl Ives for quite some time.
Burl Ives. Very good.
I don't like Burl Ives.
But go ahead.
Why?
Don't know.
Racist?
Yes. 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 Hey, we got a white man playing Frosty. Who knew?
I think let's get away from that.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, 1990, sorry. Narcolepsy. Edward Scissorhands premieres. Yeah, that movie, not very good.
But it's famous. Who was Edward Scissorhands?
Kazoo type. And Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah.
That's very good.
What year was that?
1990.
That's 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Was that the last movie he made?
No. He's made a few since then.
Fee, you ever seen it? Terrible movie.
Watched parts of it. Got kind of bored.
A little tough to watch it.
Yeah, I can't do it.
But it's famous.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how he scratches his ass.
Carefully.
Just wonder. Okay. Sorry, Rocker. Go ahead.
So now, I'm sorry you can't see us, but every time Rocker sticks his head to the microphone, one of us says something. So that's all we're doing here. We're not really asking real questions. We're just trying to mess with Rocker. And we won't do that this time. Go ahead.
December 8th.
Ooh.
1952. Anybody of the age of 50 probably remembers this.
This is December 8th or 7th?
December 8th. We've kind of moved on.
On December 7th, there was something happened in 1941.
Yeah.
Kind of important.
That's pretty obvious. I was trying to liven the place up a little bit.
Okay, sorry. We didn't mean to bring you down.
Although I'm about to here pretty soon. 1952, Lucy with Child, which is the I Love Lucy episode where she gives birth. Although, technically, on the show, she just plopped out a kid. They didn't really call it pregnancy because...
Yeah, because they weren't allowed to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yep. She was the first person, I just was seeing something on this, the first person on TV that was allowed to acknowledge that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So did you know on that show that Lucy, at the beginning, Lucy hated Ethel and wanted to get her fired because she was prettier than her?
Well, Ethel was prettier than Lucy?
Yes.
Lucille Ball was from Dayton, Ohio.
I don't know.
Lucille Ball is from Dayton, Ohio.
I don't think that.
I don't know.
That doesn't.
We'll find that out.
Through Dayton, Ohio.
You sound like Bill now, but you might be right. Not like Bill usually is. Bill's almost always wrong.
Can we try 1970?
So did you know that about Lucy and Ethel?
I didn't know about that one, but I didn't know they both, every one of them hated old Fred.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yeah. So what were the names of the people that played Ethel and Fred?
Vivian Vance and William Frawley.
William Frawley, yep.
Jamestown, New York.
Lucy. Low off there. Thank you, Bill.
Miles, it counts.
But she, but in his defense, she has heard of Dayton, Ohio.
She drove through Dayton.
Yeah.
So not on purpose.
Not on purpose. Okay, rocker.
December 8, 1970. All kids of are my age or younger. Count Chocula was trademarked.
Ah.
Oh, that's a good cereal, too.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, if you just like chocolate.
Well, most people do.
Yeah, I do. I've never had Count Chocula.
What's your blueberry?
Blueberry.
What? Cheerios are my favorite. Frankenberry.
What was your favorite cereal as a kid?
Wheaties.
Cheerios. That's basically all we had. We had Cheerios and Wheaties.
Joe?
What was my favorite cereal? Seemed like all we ever had was cornflakes. It was all Mom would buy, but about anything that had marshmallows in it, I was a fan.
You were a fan of?
Yeah, see, they didn't have marshmallows in cereal when I was a kid. We barely had cereal.
Twix.
They invented bowls 2 years before I was...
Quisp.
What?
It was just pure sugar.
Quisp.
Not getting enough of it. That explains a lot.
I think they did have sugar pops when I was a kid. That was about the only
sugar pops.
Only cereal that had sugar already on it. I didn't eat very much of it. I love Cheerios with seven spoons of sugar.
So did they have honeycomb?
I don't think so. That's Jimmy Rogers from 1958.
Rocker, do you remember that?
Honeycomb.
You lost control of your show.
Yes, I never had control.
I'm afraid you're right on that, and we're sorry. Ahead. We're not going to change our minds, but what we do, but we're sorry you lost control. Yeah.
1980, well, obviously, 41 years ago tonight, in about 2.5 hours, John Lennon was shot.
Really? And who let most of the world know that?
Howard Cosell.
That's
worst Howard Cosell impression. Howard Cosell.
Did he ever say he was a Howard Cosell impersonator?
No. Did
he ever say that?
He just tried to.
I tried to do my hair.
Your Howard Cosell sounds a lot like the guy who sang in Cats.
Do we really need to do the Cats?
Wow. I think we should.
Hey.
I don't have the background music for you, but I say go ahead, do your Cats.
I don't really need it, but
I think you should do the Cats.
Should we save that for next week?
We can do it. Today? Let's give them a preview of next week. Let's do Cats.
All right.
Everybody ready for this?
Yes, yeah. I am.
Midnight and the kiddies are sleeping. Alone in the forest. That's all I got.
Where the birdies are cheeping.
So have you seen the movie Cats?
I heard it was awful. The movie itself was awful. Now, the play is good.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
Where at?
On TV.
Is that where you learned the song?
I learned the song from David Letterman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's not really the words to the,
no,
the real song.
As Bubba said, birthday time.
Yes.
This December 7th. Not sure how many people are going to remember this gal, but Ellen Burstyn turned 89 December 7th.
She's one of the first ladies that I remember of having breast cancer and dying.
She's still alive.
Of being a survivor.
Bill is here.
She is not.
Well, she is still with us.
I don't know all of that, but my money is on Rocker. When you're talking about people, celebrities who have passed away, Rocker knows all of that. She was born in December 1932. I do not have a death date on
Ellen,
her.
Ellen, if you're listening, which would be a miracle, we apologize.
You are not dead.
It's a great recovery.
Yeah. Not hard as a carp.
No, she is not hard as a carp yet.
Larry Bird turned 65.
Yep, he died of the bird flu.
Well, if you're going to die of something, that'd be the one.
One of the top five
sure he's not dead either.
Players of all time.
Yeah, probably the best weight player of all time.
Well,
yeah, might be. Bob Cousy was in there, but he was not in Larry Bird's league. But he might. So who would you put above him? Like probably maybe Magic Johnson. They were. I'd say they're tied.
How about Pistol Pete Maravich?
Maybe he wasn't a great rebound. He was a great shooter. He was not a great basketball player. He was a great shooter. But as far as great basketball players, I'm sure you figure Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant.
Oscar Robertson?
The Big O. The Big O. I think might have been one of the best of all time.
Magic Johnson?
Yeah. He and Larry Bird were basically the same person. One was black and one was white. Came into the league the same year. Completely changed the league from being about individual players into a team game and made it stick for 15
years. Where would you rate Wilt Chamberlain?
He was a big person.
Yeah.
And scored 100 points one game. Yeah. And I don't think that'll ever be broken.
And there was other record. Which we can't.
Well, he claims that record.
That one, I know that.
He claims that record of 20,000 concubines, but I don't know that that's true.
Can we do two? I'll try December 8th birthdays.
Beat me by this much. Go ahead.
Kim Basinger turns 68.
She sucks.
Kim Basinger.
Kim Batman.
Was that 9.5 weeks?
Jack just got a little too excited over here. I'm not quite sure. Terry Hatcher, 57. Lois Lane?
Nope.
Lois Lane. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Was she the original Lois Lane with, with Christopher Reeves? No. Last side? I have no idea.
That was Margot Kidder.
Oh, yeah. 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 Okay.
And Nicki Minaj turns 39 today. God bless her.
Yeah, good for her.
Wait, I think Bubba had another birthday.
Sammy Davis Jr., you simple bastard.
Hard as a carp.
Oh, so that's.
How about this one? Eli Whitney in the Cotton Gin.
Eli Whitney. Eli's
coming high. $3.09.
You
really
left out a lot of biggies in your birthdays.
Well, I try to keep the live ones.
It's almost 8:30, so he's trying to
cut.
What the heck was that?
So who else? We're
Sam Kinison.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, sports talk is on hold for a while.
So stay tuned for sports talk.
Coming up in about 30 minutes.
Coming up. Right after Rocker has his top 10 list.
No, top 10 list.
Huh? But make something up. There is no way that you spend more than about 20 seconds on any of your top 10 lists.
I prepare for the amount of time that I am given.
Hey, you're not. It's after 8 o'clock. You're supposed to be done at 8.
I can't help that.
You took the last 25 minutes.
No, he took the last 10. We took 15 before that. Right. Hey, Jack, do you have any people you want to mention about who we might be helping with our Christmas gala next week?
Facebook.
Are you going to be doing that Facebook?
Look at my Facebook page at 9:10. And I will have at least some of them posted then.
Okay.
We have some very neat, some families that are fighting battles out there. And
yes. Yes,
we are.
We're going
to try to help them out next week.
Yep. And some of them will be public knowledge, some will not.
Correct.
Yep, as always.
Yep.
And let me just make sure we know this, too, that I think in the past you have mentioned that the money we give them, they can do whatever they want.
Yes.
They can take a trip to Disneyland. They can do whatever. It does not have to cover expenses. It's something to take the pressure off, either financially or otherwise.
Yeah. So we have no stipulations.
And next week, at Ambassador Park, people are welcome to come down. Santa Claus will be there. You guys will be there doing stuff. If I am understanding correctly, Chuck's going to be doing Facebook. And, of course, Fort Recovery Radio. If you just want audio, it's going to be, I guess, an extravaganza.
A gala.
That's what I meant to say.
Yes.
Yes.
I tell you what, can like we open sports talk with a little discussion about it, Bobby?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
So we'll go to commercials. Stay tuned for 8 o'clock sports talk.
Jesus.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.